Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house as we're privileged to lift up praise and worship to God. This morning we would like to encourage you to please sign the registration pad and pass that on to your neighbor. And in the bulletin flyer, please take note of the announcements for the January outreach meeting this Tuesday evening, the February fellowship lunch, which will take place next Sunday, being sponsored by the Koinonia Sunday School class, the start of a new Sunday School class, information about that in that flyer, and also the restart of game day, which will be on the second Friday of each month, and an announcement also about the RevCon Youth Conference on the 2nd of March. We do want to welcome our elders and deacons to a joint elders and deacons meeting this Thursday, the 1st of February, 6 o'clock, here in the sanctuary to confirm chairmanships for both the deacons and the elders. And next Sunday, the 4th of February, during both of our worship service, we will have a brief time of dedication for elders and deacons as we are beginning the new year of service. And also, your 2023 giving statements are available in the box on the oak table in the foyer. If you would please pick yours up, it will save us the cost of having to mail them to you. For your generous donations to the Warmth Tree during the month of January, we are immensely grateful, and you can see that what's out there in the foyer indicates you all have certainly been very generous, and we're grateful for that, as well as your continued support of the church's food pantry. Also, elders, deacons, and committee chair people, please be reminded of the January board meeting. It's immediately after this service in the upper room classroom. It should be a quick meeting. All we need to really do is take a quick look at the church's finances at the close of 23, approve a minutes for about three meetings we had in November, and listen to a few reports. So I think we can be reassured that we'll be finished up real quick and be ready for the Chiefs playing some group from Baltimore, I do believe, right? So Ryan, I call upon you for the call to worship.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I invite you to stand for the call to worship today. Praise the Lord.
Sing a new song to the Lord. Praise him in the assembly of his faithful people.
Be glad, Israel, because of your Creator.
Rejoice, people of Zion, because of your King.
Praise the Lord. We'll now sing hymn number 100, all stanzas of When Morning Gilds the Skies.
When morning gilds the skies, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ be praised. Discordant humankind, in this your conquered find, may Jesus Christ be praised. Let all the earth around ring joyous with the sound. May Jesus Christ be praised. Sing, suns and stars of space, sing all that see his face. May Jesus Christ be praised. God's whole creation o'er, both now and evermore, may Jesus Christ be praised. Heed this while life is mine, my canticle divine. May Jesus Christ be praised. Be this the eternal song through all the ages long. May Jesus Christ be praised.
May we pray. Merciful and loving God, we offer you thanks for the privilege to worship you freely on this Lord's Day. As the author of Hebrews 13, verse 15 has encouraged us, may we offer up praise to you as our sacrifice through Jesus, which is the offering presented by lips that confess Christ as Lord. For it is in his name that we offer this prayer in thanksgiving and praise. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
That's okay.
Okay. As we, before we go to God in prayer, do want to lift up a word of celebration for Seth and Dana Wilson. You know, they often attend this service, so you may know who they are. Seth pinned on the rank of Lieutenant Colonel of the 180th Airlift Squadron of the 139th Airlift Wing of the Missouri Air National Guard last evening. And it was a lot of fun to watch their children, Troy and Reggie. Yeah, we just praise God for that. It was a lot of fun to, of course, you know, Seth is a rather tall gentleman, so he had to kind of kneel down so that his children, Troy and Dagny, could actually pin on those silver clusters onto the epaulets of his Class A uniform. But anyway, that's why they're not here. In fact, as I was departing their company and that of all everybody else gathered there last night, Seth said, well, we're going to have to be the ones to clean up the place, you know, on the way out the door. So I do believe that's why we're not seeing them this morning. So congratulations to Seth. 18 years of service up to this point. We want to lift up Bob and Betty Maddox. Bob continues to be at St. Luke's on the plaza, and we are hoping that he will be moving to rehabilitation in Smithville, hopefully the beginning of this new week. Ted Ferris is home, recovering from his aortic surgery. I think things are progressing, but just a little, few little bumps along the road to kind of get straightened out as he's making his progress at home. Chris, we're delighted you are here this morning. We lift up Leslie as she continues to make recovery of her right arm and hope that every day is a better day of renewal for her. And among family and friends, we do want to mention that Rita Dyer's brother, Dick Reeves, who we had on the prayer chain this past week, understood that he passed into the Lord's presence this morning up at his home in Council Bluffs, Iowa. So I imagine that Rita and Dave will be making their way to Iowa for services here as the days progress. But keep the Dyer family in your prayers. And Dick's wife is named Mary Reeves. Also, Bonnie Wisdom has asked us to continue our prayers for Chris Bishop, her son-in-law. He's dealing with Parkinson's and, again, has a number of concerns with regard to that. We just want to keep him in prayer as we journey through the new week. May we bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Holy and gracious God, we are confident of your great mercy and love for us, because it has been so vividly described in so many dynamic ways in Scripture. Exodus chapter 14, verse 21 tells us that while Moses held out his hand over the Red Sea, a strong east wind blew and turned the sea into dry land, and the water was divided so the Israelites could cross. Then the text describes how you provided water and manna for your children as they made their journey across the Sinai wilderness. Your love for humanity has been so great that you chose to dwell among us as one of us through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose presence we celebrate every Sunday morning. Through your power given unto Jesus, the lame walked, the blind could see, and even Jairus' daughter, the widow's son, and Lazarus all arose from the dead. Assured by the evidences of your great acts of kindness through the centuries, we are confident, O God, that your great love continues for us, even in our day and time. So it is with humility that we bring before you our petitions this Lord's Day on behalf of the many, known and unknown, who are in need of your great healing, mercy, comfort, and strength. It is with joyfulness of heart that we offer this prayer to you, O God, for we know from Paul's writings to the church in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that our God can supply all our needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. For these assurances we give you thanks, as we also offer the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Last week, we all talked about the difficulty we had of striving to stay between the lines while driving, simply because those lines were so indistinguishable due to snow to begin with, and then the white dust of ice melt on the roads as well as in parking lots. This most recent week behind us, we've all been faced with another familiar dilemma. We've all been struggling to avoid the potholes. You got it. That's right. We all know. We've got to keep our eyes searching the pavement well ahead of our vehicles, and if there is a vehicle in front of us, and if at all possible, which is sometimes easier in a pickup or a van, we can even look beyond the vehicle in front of us to the pavement there just to see what is ahead. For it is only in being diligently attentive that we'll avoid that horrid kerplunk and the unforgiving, seeking jolt of the front end of our vehicle that tells us that we are all too late, and we've whacked that one horrendous pothole we didn't see. And as many of us can attest, the repairs to tires, alloy wheels, tie rods, and other suspension features can run into the hundreds or thousands of dollars. From a spiritual point of view, we also talk about avoiding potholes in daily living. Life's potholes are the horrid kerplunks of irresponsible, impulsive, and reckless behaviors that cause trouble for ourselves and often harm to our loved ones and friends. Yet as we gather around the Lord's table and experience Christ's great love and grace experienced through the cup and bread of his loving sacrifice for our redemption, let us remember that Christ our Lord redeems us from life's potholes, and that God's Holy Spirit and his living word are always striving to give us that sharp eye that can help us avoid these disastrous potholes as we journey forward in this new week. We turn to our communion hymn this morning. It's number 423. We'll sing all stanzas of "Become to Us the Living Bread."
Become to us the living bread, by which the Christian life is fed, renewed and greatly comforted. Alleluia. The never-failing wine, the spring of joy that shall incline our hearts to bear the covenant sign. Alleluia. Christians all with one accord unite around the sacred board to praise your holy name, O Lord. Alleluia.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Anna leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, we come here today as one church, wanting to grow and share your love and grace with others. We take these emblems, sharing them with each other in remembrance of your love for each of us. Lord, as we take this bread and this cup, we ask for your blessing, and we are thankful for your never-ending grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. In his pastoral advice to young Timothy, the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6 prompts Timothy to tell the followers in his charge to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share with others. For in doing so, they will set for themselves a treasure that lays the solid foundation for life which is true. With these thoughts in mind, Mike leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Father, may these gifts that we bring truly represent our gratitude, our love, and our devotion to your cause. We pray in the name of who gave his life for us, Jesus. Amen.
May we stand? Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture reading I share with you this morning is a continuation of the story of the feeding of the 5,000 as Jesus meets up with the people who had gone to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. John chapter 6, beginning with the 25th verse. When the people found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Teacher, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "I am telling you the truth. You are looking for me because you ate the bread and you all had what you wanted, not because you understood my miracles. Do not work for food that spoils. Instead, work for food that lasts for eternal life. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has put his mark of approval on him." So they asked him, "What can we do in order to do what God wants us to do?" And Jesus answered, "What God wants you to do is simply, if you will, to believe in the one he sent." They replied, "Well, what miracle will you perform so that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, just as the scripture says, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." "I am telling you the truth," Jesus said. "What Moses gave you was not the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread that God gives is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they answered him, "give us this bread always." And of course, our key verse for today, John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." May we have a word of prayer, please. Loving God, help us put aside our focus on earthly interests and physical concerns just long enough to discover how Jesus truly is the eternal bread of life, as he offers us the assurance of a life eternal in the heavens. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, I described how I have observed people of the Northland along Berry Road enduring an ongoing succession of long, very long lines of cars simply to experience the newest culinary offerings here on Berry Road from Hawaiian Brothers, Whataburger, and then lastly, of course, Dutch Brothers Coffee. Some people, with time on their hands, seem drawn to whatever is the newest, the exceptional, the unique, possibly so they can be the first among their family members or friends simply to comment on what it is that they've experienced. It seems that human nature will go to great lengths simply to experience that which is, remember what I called it last week? Novelty. I then said I believe that this succession of long, very long lines of eager occupants waiting in cars is the modern day parallel to the throngs of people who put their lives on hold in biblical times so they could experience the novelty of this traveling rabbi named Jesus. For they wanted to see if Jesus would feed their insatiable curiosity for that which is a novelty, whether it be healing events or better yet, a free meal, as was demonstrated when Jesus multiplied the boys' simple meal of 2 dried fish and 5 barley loaves into a feast that fed the entire multitude on the southern shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. As we mentioned last week, this throng of people was so enamored by Jesus' miracles that they spent the entire night after the feeding of the multitude walking the entire westward shoreline simply so they could experience for themselves this rabbi's next novel event, or better yet, maybe another helping of fast and convenient free food. This Sunday morning, we pick up the story further described in John chapter 6 as the multitude catches up with Jesus on that northwestern shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. likely as Jesus' base of operation was in Capernaum, the hometown of several of Jesus' disciples. This Sunday, may we achieve a better understanding of just why Jesus says of himself in John chapter 6, verse 35, "I am the bread of life." John chapter 6, verse 25 tells us that the people found Jesus on the other side of the lake, and they asked him, when did he get there? And they were certainly mystified by his ability to be there, for they did not see Jesus get into the boat with his disciples, nor did they see Jesus along the shoreline as they walked. Yet Jesus knew the perplexity of his mode of travel was not really what they were interested in. Jesus knew the crowd had taken the entire night to search for him because of the novelty of his miracles and, of course, that free meal in an era in which food was always difficult to come by. That was still fresh on their minds and likely even on their stomachs after that long midnight walk. You think you're waiting for a midnight snack. They're looking for breakfast, right? In verse 26, Jesus doesn't answer the crowd's question. Instead, he addresses the real reason of novelty and convenience, which is why they have sought him out. Jesus says, verse 26, "I am telling you the truth. You are looking for me because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you understand my miracles." And setting aside their physical and novel interests, Jesus goes on to tell them that their search for one more fast food meal is really inconsequential, as he says to them in the next verse, 27, "Do not work for food that spoils. Instead, work for the spiritual," if you will, "food that lasts for eternal life. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has put his mark of approval upon him." In this verse, Jesus deliberately calls himself the Son of Man. He is expressing to them that he really is the Messiah whom they have been seeking for centuries. And Jesus is encouraging them to set aside their interest in physical things like food, which spoils, and to become focused on the spiritual food that he, as the Messiah, wishes to offer them, thinking that there is something that they must do to earn a closer relationship with God. The people proceed to ask him in verse 28, "What can we do in order to do what God wants us to do?" And the answer Jesus offers is a simple one. Jesus says in verse 29, "What God wants you to do is," if you will, "simply believe in the one he sent." This idea of simply believing in Jesus as the one true Messiah becomes a difficult concept for the crowd to swallow, for they had so long been influenced by the ever-growing minutiae of rules and regulations handed down through the centuries of scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees of their faith, which had given them plenty to do in order to be in the right relationship with God. Not only are they having difficulty believing that Jesus is truly the Messiah, they are still also stuck on the novel demonstrations of miraculous power. If Jesus would simply perform more novel and spectacular demonstrations, maybe then they will be convinced that he is the Messiah, the Son of Man that he claims to be. The crowd says in the next verses, 30 and 31, "What miracle will you perform so that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, just as the scripture says, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus is rather forthright in his response to the crowd as he says in verses 32, 33, "I am telling you the truth." In other words, here Jesus is saying, "Listen to this truth. What Moses gave you was not bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread that God gives is he who comes down from heaven and gives life into the world. In other words, God gives you me, is what he's saying. In these words, Jesus is telling them that he is again the Messiah whom God had sent, the real spiritual food that they need. Still trying to wrap their minds around what Jesus is saying, the people respond to Jesus in verse 34, "Sir, give us this bread then always." Many of them may still be focused on the notion of another tangible, earthly, fast and free meal, as they then make this exclamation to Jesus. Yet Jesus goes on to emphasize in the 35th verse, this key verse for us today. He says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." Let's unpack this a bit. First, by saying, "I am," this Jewish crowd clearly understood that Jesus is making a profound claim that he is from God. These people's understanding of the Torah reminds them in an immediate moment, just like when Moses encountered God in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, and God declared that he is the I am. Here Jesus is saying, I am of God. Secondly, as Jesus declares that he is from God, he says he is like bread that offers life. This crowd clearly understands that bread is the staple which can sustain earthly life. And here Jesus is saying that he in God truly is the sustainable spiritual essence that they can embrace forevermore. Thirdly, in this 35th verse, Jesus emphasizes that the person who comes to and believes in Jesus as this bread of life will never, ever again experience hunger or thirst in a spiritual sense. Yes, this crowd of Jewish people sought after Jesus after experiencing the novelty of profound miracles, capped off with the miraculous free food to the multitude. But on this next day, Jesus offers no miracles, no fast food, no Hawaiian Brothers, no Whataburger, not even a cup of Dutch Brothers coffee, right? Instead, Jesus simply offers himself as the true Messiah whom they are seeking, the one who could offer them spiritual satisfaction forevermore. And so, you're saying, "Pastor, what does the secondary story to the story of the feeding of the 5,000 that we all know have to say to you and me today?" It is simply this. There is not a one of us here that needs one more quick and easy meal to satisfy real hunger. Not one of us is really wanting. Certainly, none of us are starving. We find ourselves sitting in never-ending successions of long, very long lines of cars simply because we are starving spiritually. We, even like the people in biblical times, are stuck in a futile quest for that which is novel. In this physical world, we are still seeking for the next sensation, as if that sensation will give us true spiritual internal satisfaction. We have a realm of commercialism out there that is always trying to offer us something, if we'll just pay for it, to satisfy us. But yet, here, Jesus our Lord is saying to us, "Come to me. Believe in me, and spiritually you will find and experience the real sense of satisfaction and peace that you are indeed seeking." It is a satisfaction that only Christ can offer. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11, the Old Testament tells us, "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire even in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." But also our key verse out on the sign, John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the spiritual, if you will, bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst spiritually." Do you know Christ? If he's not your Savior, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today is your day to come forward. Become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. We turn to our hymn of invitation, number 102. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4 of "Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee," number 102, please. Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. A reminder to our elders, deacons, and committee chair people, we do have a very quick January board meeting up in the upper room classroom immediately after this service. A reminder also to elders and deacons, we've got this very brief meeting a Thursday evening here in the sanctuary, 6 o'clock, so we can confirm chairmanships for the elders and deacons. And next Sunday, we will be dedicated elders and deacons in worship for this new term of service. Thank you for being here in the Lord's house, and may we pray. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to experience the great satisfaction that your Spirit offers us day by day, that we may journey through life with great peace and assurance. For this truth we give thanks as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Go in peace, and the peace of God be with you this day. Go in peace, and the peace of God be with you always.